Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of That's What Bea Said. I'm your host, Bree, at Breezy Clee. I'm back, and I'm joined by my fellow ladies, Brittany Mollis at Bird's Eye View. Hi, Britt.
It's nice to have you back, Bree.
Hey, you did a lovely job. I should have just stayed away again.
Yes. That was
all
right.
You guys did great. Meredith, you also held down the fort at MCAN Sports. Hello, Meredith.
Don't you ever say that you shouldn't come back ever again. That is okay, not allowed.
I was laughing really hard at Brittany's outro where she was like, what am I supposed to say?
Oh, yeah. Then she goes, wait. You got to leave that. I'm like, I was going to leave it in whether you liked it or not. Like,
I was so not well prepared. Editing that out. Lots of laughs. But I'm happy to be back. And tonight we actually have, there's four of us tonight. We have a special guest. Mr. Derek West, or you guys might know him on Twitter at Bulletproof West, or Brittany, you have to like intro him with what you told Danny.
Browns.
Yeah, that's it. That's what anyone who's listening to this show would probably know me for. Most people probably don't know me at all, but yeah, Browns Twitter guy, Frank Feldhammer.
Yes. Topher Testaverde,
yeah. Which is, honestly, Topher Testaverde, he's, it's a character that low-key, it's been around for a very long time. He didn't have a name until this. And it was one of those things, like, I do goofy shit. Like, I find myself, I'll be in the car by myself. And this is something I did when I was, like, 16, 17. Someone comes, you know, you're driving down the street and someone comes speeding past you. And I would say, like, I'm in a hurry. You know what I mean? And I would use that voice. And so it's something that just, I would always say things like that in that voice to like annoy people. So that's what it became, is like anyone who was annoying to me, that's how I heard their voice in my head. You know what I mean? And so that's sort of where it came from. And then you guys in a weird roundabout way gave him a name.
We listen, so this resonates with us on this podcast. That's what B said specifically, because we call them Dale. I think Topher and Dale, are they related? Are they siblings?
They very well could be. Yes. You know, Topher Testaverde, he's like 27th in line for the Testaverde family fortune. And so Dale might be, you know, a little higher or lower, I don't know.
Dale Testaverde. I'm going to say Dale's a little bit lower on that list.
Yeah, Dale deserves nothing.
Maybe 40, 45, I don't know.
Dale got written out of the will.
What are you doing here, Dale? Yeah. No.
Long lost cousin.
Yeah, but probably. I mean, obviously there's some correlation. And when I say, and I apologize if I'm being verbose. I hope that you guys will indulge me in that. But in a really roundabout way, and I said it in the tweet that I sent out about coming on the show, was that you guys really, you're responsible in a roundabout way for like even introducing me to what Brown's Twitter was. I had no idea that Brown's Twitter was like a thing. I was aware of Twitter and I was aware of the Cleveland Browns, and I'm a lifelong Browns fan. I was born in Oberlin. I grew up in Cleveland, and split my time between there and Columbus. So I just didn't know it was a thing. So we were trying to drum up interest in our first podcast, and we took part in like one of those Browns Twitter follow trains. Okay. And I believe that's where I first followed either, I think maybe Bree and Mollis were the people that I followed. And I remember seeing Mollis get into these fights with people on Twitter, and I thought, that's really funny. Like, that is just so funny to me. And so even at that point in the beginning, I still didn't realize that it was like this community. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I thought I was going to be following like journalists, and to a degree I was, but I didn't know that it would be so many just crazy fans, fanatics.
It's a wild place.
It's the wildest place on the internet, and that says a lot.
Twitter is interesting because it has these subcultures very similar to Reddit.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can go on Reddit and be a part of different subreddits, and you can either be active or not. And Twitter's almost the exact same way, because there is baseball Twitter, there's hockey Twitter.
Right.
I recently got roped into Green Bay Packers Twitter.
Excuse me? What recent, Meredith?
They are wild. So I think it was just this girl who is like a Packers fan. I think she might have a Packers podcast, and she followed me. And so I looked and saw her. I was like, oh, like a girl who likes football. Yeah, instant follow, sure. And they, I can't believe I haven't talked about this before. I don't know how this happened because I'm not fully immersed in Green Bay Packer Twitter. But at some point, the men of Green Bay Packer Twitter started attacking the women, similar to Brown's Twitter.
No shit. No shit. Is that what happened?
So this girl that I initially followed, she started a hashtag called Thirst Trap Thursday.
Oh, I've like, seen that.
Yeah. Where I've all seen that. All these women who were Green Bay Packers fans would post thirst traps in Green Bay Packers gear. And I just, like, I didn't participate, obviously, but, like, it's all I would see on my timeline for Thursdays. And I'm like, man, Packers Twitter, it's wild. It's wild. So, yeah, Twitter, it's weird.
We should start
like,
doing that.
Can you imagine if we did that?
What if we did thirst trap Thursdays, but it was, like, the opposite of a thirst trap? Like, what if it was, like, Thirst Trap Thursdays, and then you, like, posted a picture of your pet? Like, I post a picture of Llama, and you post a picture of Joey, and Brie post a picture of Gizmo and Brady or something. Like, just random stuff. Like, Thirst Trap Thursday, I found a pretty leaf on the ground. That's my thirst trap for the day.
Yeah, people would just be angry. I predict anger. Like, that's
of
what
course.
Would happen.
Regardless of what we do, there will be anger. But if we did Thirst Trap Thursday, I was thinking we would just pose with, like, I don't know, like Big Macs or something, or like maybe Fish Sammy's.
Oh, that would have to be, that would be like Fish Sammy Friday.
Fish Sammy
just,
Friday.
Yeah, just keep it literal. Just be, you know, with your favorite drink. It's just like, keep it as literal and silly as possible. Yeah. Just...
No, because then I'd be drinking a Starbucks and be like, why aren't you going to Dunkin'? Why aren't you buying local coffee?
You paid $7.75 for that drink.
You're just too free, you understand? You say too many things about yourself that you shouldn't have the right to do that. What is this, you know?
Exactly. I should just get back in the kitchen. So, which, by the way, I'm actually becoming a pretty good cook. Plot twist.
Ooh.
So all this time, they're like, get back in the kitchen. Well, bitch, I can cook now.
I thought you... Wait,
tell
wait,
me
I...
to get in the kitchen, and I'm excited to go.
I
do they still
you...
say that?
Yes, they do.
Yes, yeah.
Get in the kitchen? Huh, okay.
I sort of like realized that I made it in the sports world when it shifted from get in the kitchen to stick to sports. So once the Dale started telling me to stick to sports, that's when
yeah,
I was like,
okay,
oh, man.
Right.
Like,
you've got, yeah, you've got it figured out. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I have a question about your TikTok videos. I've been dying to know.
Sure.
So it's obvious that some of the characters are just general Browns people that you see a lot of, and then some of the characters are very specifically based on people. Like, we've seen ones that we know for a fact are Britney. Has anyone ever seen, you know, it's this guy, you know, has anyone ever seen your TikToks, like, saw themselves in the video and get mad at you, or have they not seen themselves in the video and then got mad that they weren't included?
Kind of like
name
both
names,
I guess. If all right, so if you all right, so as far as like the characters go, all right, anytime that you might see something that, okay, that's Brittany or that's Bree or that character is an amalgamation of sort of all you guys, and I might have taken something that one of you has said, but it's always with your sort of group in mind, I guess.
The Good Morning Browns fans are my favorite because I tweet Good Morning every single game night.
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was cracking up. I loved it.
And so yes, there are. Yeah, so you guys are definitely in there.
I just know when the towel goes on your head. Yes. I feel like when it's like your brownish colored towel. I'm like, that's me. I'm the brown-haired towel girl.
You always have brown hair. Yep.
That's what I think of when I see the brown-haired towel, too. I'm like, oh, that's Brie.
Yes.
Brown-haired girl making smart points. That's Brie.
Yeah, I'll 100% say that one's you. Yep. No, there's no way around that. So,
I'm like, God, I love that character.
She always, you know, she always owns him in the end. And again, that was like the very first, like the very first sketch that I ever wrote or ever came up with was the first lines were, you know, you're just a woman. What do you know about sports? And then her, you know, she fires off, you know, a stat on his ass. And then he's just like, well, you're a bitch. And because that's always, it's always the eventuality. It never failed. And I've sat and watched it 100 times. So to answer your question directly, Joey is probably the only person besides you guys now that can definitively say, oh, that's me. Like, that's 100% me. There's no way around it. He's been very gracious and very cool. Ryan actually knows him. Shout out to MC No Walk. He actually knows Joey, so he's been very cool. People will say things like, I don't go out of my way to look at negative comments. It's actually a thing where, like, my friends think it's funny to send them to me. Like, they'll send me screenshots. They're like, look what this guy said about you and stuff like that. But I've seen where people have been like, oh, he's 100% talking about me. And I'm like, I don't know who the how can I say the F word?
Sure.
Yeah. I guess it's too late now. I've never seen your account before. You know what I mean? Like, so I have no idea who you are. I don't follow you. Why would I be talking about you? You know what I mean? So I've seen people like that. And then I've seen other people. It's when other people are like, I want to be in the video. I'm kind of like, well, you know, dude, like 9 times out of 10, it's not a good thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's not something that you necessarily want to be in. Because even when I'm portraying certain characters in, I never want to be mean. Do you know what I mean? And like,
right.
I could be, it's very easy. Like, it's an easier thing to do, but it's more difficult to appeal to a broad spectrum of people, because there's all kinds of people that follow me now, you know, people who are from different places and worship different gods, and just it's crazy. So I try to be as relatable as possible and not to be mean, but people are mean back sometimes anyway, and that's too bad.
Oh, yeah. I see that a lot with Brown's Twitter, where you could mention something and they're convinced that you're talking about them.
Yeah. 100%.
But you're not. I've seen that with my, I've seen that like amongst our group. I've seen it among my colleagues who will say something on the air. And then I've seen people get angry about it on Twitter. And I'm like, I know for a fact that my colleague does not know who you are, dude.
Right.
Like, he's never seen or heard of you before in your life. No. So while you're sitting here, like, losing your mind over the fact that one of my colleagues said something about someone, you're upset thinking it's you. It's not you.
Yeah. And a lot of it's just delusions of grandeur brought on by the internet. And just, it's, for whatever reason as well, Twitter is just inherently negative. I don't know exactly why that is, but it just is. It's not like, and it's the only social media I really use. Even TikTok, I used it to make the videos, but I'm not like an active TikTok user. I'm not big on it as a, and I hate sounding like this. I don't want to sound like a hipster or something like that. But, like, I'm just not, like, I'd much rather spend my time, like, I like to longboard. I like to hike. I like to be outside. I just would rather not live my life through a screen, you know what I'm saying? And that's really that, I guess. I don't even know why I said that. No, just to tell you my hobbies, I guess. Why did I say that?
Well, because it's sometimes, I think it's easy to, like, when you're on Browns, in the Browns Twitter world, it's so easy to get wrapped up and sucked into it, because there's just so much negativity. And I feel like when you're known for, like, a niche, like your videos or whatnot, people then expect you to, like, churn them out constantly, right? Mm-hmm. Like, when's the next one? When's the next one? But listen, that you should, here's what I would say. I think your videos, specifically this past year, were extremely relatable, because it truly was Twitter in a nutshell. Like, you touched on, even if you drew inspiration from one person or a couple of people, you nailed it. Like, those were the spectrums of Brown's Twitter all season long. And then you, like, took it a step further and you threw in, like, the 1-800 help number. There, you know, you had some shots at some wives. I mean, there was a lot going on. And you were not afraid to touch on them. And quite frankly, that's admirable.
Thank you.
It was weirdly like a unifier almost.
Yes!
Yes! Yeah, it really was.
At least for a few minutes, you know what I mean? And that's cool. it's not, yeah. And again, it's just never, it's one of those things to me where, like, again, I'm pretty, like, just content with my life. You know what I mean? Like, I don't.
How dare you?
Right, yeah, right. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I mean, and I don't want to sound like I'm, anything more or less than what I am or I'm not, but I just, I'm pretty content. My life's pretty good. My kids are awesome. My wife's awesome.
Children?
Yeah, I like just doing the shit that I like to do. And sometimes if that's making a video, then that's what it is. But I'm never chasing anything other than, I've said it before, the only level of fame that I'm after is maybe on the off chance one day I'm at Punch Bowl Social and someone says, oh shit, you, this asshole, you know, the guy who had the towel on his head, like, let me buy you a beer, dude. Like, that's that, I'm good with that. You know what I mean? I don't need anything more than that. And so it really is just to make people laugh. That's cool. And I appreciate you guys saying those very nice things.
Well, we love your videos. And I think it's pretty obvious how happy you are with who you are and what you do, because people who are happy don't attack other people on the internet. You can always tell, like, you're, because I mean, and even when you were describing your videos, you said you'd never want to be mean, and that is, you know, just a characteristic of someone who is just generally happy with themselves and with their life, because people who are not happy with themselves or with their life will attack people on the internet and sure. call them Dr. Mollis, you know?
No, and it is what it is, right? You, like, you kind of sort of know what comes with it. And again, on a smaller, like, because I mean, my account's not even close to the level that your guys' accounts are, so I can't imagine. And on top of that, with you being women, actually, it's Women's History Month this month, isn't it? Shout out to women. I love women. Ooh. My mom was a woman, if you can believe that.
Shout out, yeah. Derek West's mom.
Yeah, Ma Dukes. I've got four sisters. They're all women too, coincidentally. But yeah, I can't imagine what it's like. So on even just a small level, yeah, it's just it's a weird place. I don't know.
So 2 years ago, I have to ask you, Derek. 2 years ago, or almost 2 years ago, mm-hmm. 2020, the year of hell that we were all living in.
Yeah,
we were still
living in.
I know, right? It's just continued. We were recording our podcast like weekly. We were touching on all these things, even the things that we were just talking about with like just being a woman and having this platform and social media. And you and your friend, your buddy, is it Ryan? Because I don't know if this podcast is still out there, but you guys had, you were talking about all this stuff too, and you were fans of our show.
Yeah, we were.
And you
are. I am. We are.
Okay, good. Yeah. Well, I didn't know. You know, people fall off. I don't know where they go. But you guys were talking about our podcast and how people treated us and what people said about us. And you touched on it and you reached out to me and messaged me. And you said it was so nice. You were like, I didn't want to say this on a public platform and tag all of you guys. I just wanted to let you know we love what you're doing. And it was like, honestly, at that time, you know, we get a lot of, unfortunately, negativity thrown our way that sometimes mm-hmm. you miss the good that comes out of it. And I hate that. Like, I hate that sometimes you get so just caught up in all the people that are so mean that you kind of lose sight of, like, all the really nice people and all the things that they say. And I remember, I think I sent it to both Meredith and Brittany, and I was like, guys, like, this is why we're doing what we're doing, because there are people that actually like us and they like what we're doing and they speak up for us and we have to keep going. So it's just number one, like, it's so funny how it came full circle, because then you became more known on Twitter this past year. And, you know, much to a lot of these Dales or Topher dismay, like, you actually liked us from the beginning, even though you're making fun of us in the videos. Like, it's just so, you know, it's like so satisfying that they're like, God, we hate those girls too. And I'm like, guys, he likes us though.
No, yeah, no. And I don't know that I'm ever making fun of you guys.
No.
I just, it's, I don't know. It's, again, those are,
it's
very, very nice things.
Hilarious.
And that you said, and I appreciate it. And no, I just, we were, and it was, it's an honest thing. It was just one of those things where it's weird, right? Because, like, I think at that time too, I had asked you guys to be on my show and you guys were both like, nah, like, no, you didn't say it like that. I'm just teasing you. But no, here I am now on your show. So it's just a super cool thing to, know that, like, you understood where I was coming from, you know, all you guys. And I've said it to you before, like, I do consider you guys luminaries. I mean that. It's not just kind words. It's not just something to say. I believe in your guys' agenda and what you guys are doing. I believe that women belong in sports. I believe that women are 100%, if not more than men, or equal to, if not greater than men. And it's just to hear you say those things, it's cool when people tell you that they like what you do, but it's something else when someone who you respect and who inspires you says those things. And so it's just awesome. Thank you.
My mic is muted. I was about to say my mic is muted because I'm getting choked up over here.
That was so
yes,
nice.
Sincerely. It's very nice.
We are big fans of you.
Massive.
For
yeah.
sure.
And yeah. We appreciate you so much.
Sure. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, so I don't, what was the question? I don't even remember what we went off on that tangent.
No,
there.
You're good. So I will say, like, Brittany and I, we've talked about this a lot too. And even Meredith, you're in like the industry. Like, Meredith is a respectable, like, in the industry, you know, Brittany right. and I, like, this is for fun. Like, this is for fun, right?
Sure.
Like, this is not a full-time job. Like,
yeah, as it should be. I
right.
mean, no and one should do a podcast if you're not having fun doing
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yes.
And sometimes it's, like, really hard to, like, keep doing it when you, like, you're battling not only just, like, people on the internet. Like, it's so stupid. Like, you try not to yeah. let it affect you. But then, like, life. Like, there's life that happens outside of coming on every single week and talking to each other. And, you know, there are times where it's just like, it just weighs on you. And I know, Brittany, you probably can relate to this a little bit too, because like you took a break for a few months and, mm-hmm. you know, Meredith and I were doing the show and it definitely wasn't the same, but like people have to understand too, you know, like we're not getting paid a yearly annual salary to do this show. Like we are truly
right.
just doing it because we enjoy it. We like to talk to each other. We really all just like each other. And
right.
if people listen, great. And if they enjoy that, great. But also like, we're not going to keep doing something if it impacts us in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you should, I mean, that's rules for life. Fuck podcasting. That's just, you know what I mean? Like that's how you should approach your life. Nothing, you don't do anything if it doesn't make you happy or if it's not worth doing, you know what I mean? Know your worth and a bunch of other cliches.
So, Derek, I have to ask you, and we're going to move on to a very important topic after
Absolutely.
This. Are you going to keep doing the videos as the season approaches or in season? Because I know you kind of, like, you weren't super upfront with us on Twitter about, like, you know, every week it was kind of like, I think this is going to be my last one. But, like,
yeah.
where's your head at? What do you think?
All right, so, like, the thing is every time I ever said this is the last one, like, I meant it when I said it. You know
okay.
what I mean? Like, because, and again, it just, it comes back and I don't want to be redundant, but like, so I won't be redundant. Here's what I'll say. I don't want to say that I don't care about it because that's not what it is. Again, it's just that I like doing other shit. I guess I was redundant, wasn't I? So every time I said it, I meant it. And then something would happen and I'd be like, I have to say something about this. Like, you know what I mean? Or like Ryan would pitch me an idea and be like, hey, have you seen da 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 da? And I'm like, God, now I have to say something about this. So they've never felt like a chore to me. You know what I mean? But it's only because I've always done it at my own pace. And I never really paid attention to if someone was like, when's the next one coming out? Because it kind of goes back to what you were saying. Like, I don't get paid for this shit. You
yeah.
know what I mean? No mm-hmm. no one's knocking on my door to be like, hey, you know, like, you know, wear our t-shirt. We'll pay you money. Like, okay, if they did that, then maybe I would be more apt to make videos more often. But I suppose that's the cycle, right? Because if I made videos more often, maybe people would be more apt to give me shit. But again, like, I just would rather be doing other things. So there will be more videos, yes. We think we're going to do at least one more, like, Brown's Twitter Always and Never, like, series. We basically, like, stitched all of them together and threw them up on YouTube. It's like a 24-minute video of every single one that we ever did, including the Christmas special.
Yeah.
And so we think that we're going to do one more season of it and then just sort of see what happens. There's no real, like, plan in place, and there never is. And it's just sort of the way that I do things. And creatively, I don't want to get burned out because there's only so much of that left. I'm an old man.
Brown Twitter needs you.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't need me.
You're the only unifying force in our little subculture of the Bird app. So.
Well, sometimes, you know, like, all right, as negative as Twitter is, though, I've seen really beautiful things happen there. And
okay.
I've seen, you know, even, and if I'm not mistaken, and excuse me if I'm overstepping, but like, you guys, did you come together on Twitter? Did you guys like all know each other? Or?
It was all through Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. So right there, you know what I mean? That's a beautiful thing. This thing that you guys have created and these relationships that you forged, and like, that's a beautiful thing. And that came about because of Twitter. And I've seen, you know, there are people doing really good things. I know there's the West, what is it? West Summit and the Tailgate, the West Summit Tailgate, I believe it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Do you guys know what I'm talking about? They do animal
third
adoptions.
Third and Summit, yep, they do.
Yeah, Third and Summit, thank you very much.
Yep,
shout out to them.
Fundraising for that.
Yeah, they do a lot of good stuff with that. And I've seen, you know, when my boy Mike McFadden got hurt, I seen people come together and take care of him. And so there is a lot of bad, but there's also a lot of good. And I don't know that I believe that people are inherently good, but I do believe that there are enough good people, you know, to still make a difference. And everyone should try kindness and empathy sometimes, you know. It feels good. It works.
I agree.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Words to live by.
We are 27 minutes in the show, and I didn't even give you an opportunity to
Holy shit,
promote
are we?
Anything that you're doing. So you do have a podcast as well.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Rumpus Room Revival, right?
That is it. Yeah, okay. That's my show. Yeah.
So tell the people that are listening, if you guys are all still listening.
Right. I've probably
podcast,
driven them out of here.
What you're all about outside of the Browns Twitter segments and where they can find you.
It's pretty simple. You guys, Karadari said it. Twitter's at Bulletproof West. RumpusRoomRevival.com. You can learn anything you want to learn about the show. It's an open format podcast. Me and my brother, my best friend Ryan, we just talk about whatever we feel like, and it's very similar to how we have been talking for the last, what'd you say, 27 minutes.
Yes.
Sort of whatever comes up. We never really have a plan. There might be things we want to hit on, but we talk about, you know, people who mess with me on Twitter, and we talk about I don't know, sometimes it might be space aliens, sometimes it might be what do you think happens when you die, sometimes it might be, you know, whatever. We just sit and talk. And it started as a way. It's actually the second run of the show. The first one was called Oh, For Fuck's Sake, a podcast.
I could not remember that. So what happened to that?
So, all right. It kind of goes back to what you were saying with how you guys do your show. So when we started that show, it was a thing that we started doing just to sort of keep us close, because I'm down on the Gulf of Mexico and he's still up in Cleveland. And so it was something just to keep us close. And completely unexpectedly, are you guys familiar with Brent Terhune, the comedian?
No.
He used to do a lot of Trump bits where he plays a redneck, but he's not a redneck. He just he plays like this Trump supporter that is really dumb, I guess. Anyway, so he's a relatively famous comedian. He wound up retweeting one of our tweets, and then he did a cameo for us.
Oh.
And so the show, like, even on a minor level, it blew up. Like, we were, I don't know, it was something stupid. We did the math. At one point, it was like 37% of the countries in the world. We had at least 5 people listening to the show.
Wow.
And the problem with it was that it sort of became a business really fast. Yeah. Like, and it wasn't fun. It just really wasn't fun anymore. And we were on, like, I think 25 or 30 episodes, and I was doing everything. Like, I was doing all the, we were recording, and then I was doing the editing, and I was, I have a tendency that when I do focus on something, I focus on it hard, and I zone in on it, and it becomes the only thing. That's probably my biggest flaw. And so it just got to the point where when you're doing an episode a week plus 4 bonus episodes a month for your patron page, plus you're still working a full-time job, plus you're a father, plus you're a husband, plus you're trying to, like, make sure that your kids are less pieces of shit than you are, it just became too much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was really it. And so then after a break, we just decided, hey, let's do it again, and this time there's no merch and there's no Patreon pages, and we're just going to make an episode when we feel like it, and it's worked out really well, and we love doing it. And so anyway, rumpusroomrevival.com, you can learn everything you could possibly want to.
Love it.
Awesome.
All the videos are there too, actually.
Listen, if you ever need someone to join you to talk about space aliens or what happens after you die, me and Meredith are your girls.
Yes. Seriously, we should do it. We'll set it up at some point in the next, you know,
please.
I'm so excited. Yeah, it's funny because every once in a while, it doesn't happen often, but like every once in a while, Brittany and I will go off on either like a ghost tangent, like a supernatural tangent, or a space alien tangent, and Bree's like, oh my god, what did I get myself into?
I thought for sure you guys were going to take last week's episode down conspiracy lane without me. I'm sorely let down.
Yeah, it's fun.
We had serious sports business last week.
You guys did.
So. Yeah, okay,
we haven't even talked about sports really in this first 30 minutes, and I'm going to continue down that path because we have to get to a very important topic. And Derek, I hope you weigh in on this, but anyone out there celebrates the Lenten season, today's Fat Tuesday, it's upon us, which also means fish sandwich season is upon us. And this is really when Brittany thrives. Like, I know, Brittany, that you are a self-proclaimed doctor on Twitter, but to me, you are a fish sandwich expert specifically. So I wanted to have you rank, because this was a big thing last year, and I do think that you should do a TikTok series, because I think you'd blow up. But I really want to hear your ranking, because we're going to be getting into Friday fish sandwiches, and the people need to know where they should be getting it from. I am a Catholic. I get all of my fish fries at like the Catholic churches. So I don't know where to go for like a drive-thru. So you gotta tell the people.
Oh, Brie, I got you covered. Yes. First of all, saying that I'm a fish sandwich expert is like the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Second of all, if I were in the video arena, other than the idea that I pitched last week to Meredith, fish sandwiches would be my bread and butter. Like, I would review the crap out of fish sandwiches.
Listen, food review videos on TikTok are big. I follow, there's like 3 or 4 accounts that I follow that are literally just people sitting in their car eating food and ranking it. And I don't know why. I don't know why I follow them, but I am so fascinated by it.
Listen, I used to, so I actually was a journalist at one point, if you can believe that. And I worked for this paper in Winston-Salem in North Carolina, and one of my assignments, because we were so short-staffed, they put me on food reviews. Me, the person who at the time would eat like a spoon of peanut butter for dinner. Like, that was my dinner. That's what I did. That was the extent of my cooking skills and my palate. Okay, peanut butter and cottage cheese. Sometimes I went real crazy and got canned beets. So they were
such
like
such a weird combination of canned beets.
Oh god. Right? Cheese. I could eat canned beets right now. I'd love them so much.
Yeah, no.
But they put me, this was my assignment every week. I had to go to like a restaurant in the area and do food reviews. And I'm just like, you guys could not have picked a worse person to do this. So, you know, I would always order the same things that, you know, like chicken fingers or something lame. And the whole point of it was to generate business. So, like, it had to be something nice. I wasn't allowed to, like, criticize them because they were letting me crash their place and eat for free, which was cool. But I used to write up all the, like, I would compare it to, like, I would use Drake lyrics in the write-up about, you know, but it was a mess. People loved it, but it was messy. So, yeah, I am a fish sandwich expert. I do have my rankings for you. I actually texted them to Danny so that I just sent him I just sent him a list of I'm not going to spoil it for you. We'll build this up.
All right.
But after I sent it, I was like, had to rank the fish sammies for the pod. So here we go. Derek, do you eat fish sandwiches?
I mean, every now and then. It's not something that I'm going to go looking for, but I'm terribly interested.
You might
in
after this episode.
I might get one as soon as we're done.
Sell you on the number one, you're going to be like, I need it. And it's a surprising one. Like, I've tweeted about it many times since, but I just had one on Saturday to sort of warm me up. What?
I want to guess. Okay, I think that I might know your number one. I'm not going to say it right now, but I'm going to tell you that last year, Jeff and I were desperate for, like, you know, it's Friday, we can't eat meat, we're like, we need to get a fish sandwich, we need something quick, like all the fish fries, like locally, or like everything's out, whatever. And I was like, Brittany tweeted about this specific place for a fish sandwich, and Jeff looked at me like I had 8 heads, and I'm like, she said it was really good.
It's probably in the number one.
Okay, all right, you got to reveal your list. I'm ready.
So I'm going to go from best to worst. How's that?
Okay, best. Okay.
Okay, best. Number one on the fish sandwich ranking, and these might change. I'm going to start doing it on Friday again. So this is coming off of 2021, okay, which was a pretty strong season for me. I really ventured out there on Friday because I'm a loser. So number one is Dairy Queen.
Yes, that was
100%. Like, I don't think anyone could ever move Dairy Queen from number one.
Is it
That's
an
how good it is.
Cod?
It's so good. And you get it with cheese and tartar sauce and lettuce. So you have to, like, ask for the cheese on it, but it makes all the difference.
Pro tip.
Oh my God. So
That's
good.
Incredible. The Brittany I never would have guessed. Yeah. Never would have guessed.
Fish and cheese.
I know.
I don't think I've ever eaten at a Dairy Queen. I don't think I've ever eaten at one.
Oh my gosh. Their french fries are good. They're like nice and salty.
Remember their, those chicken tender baskets that they have with the white gravy that you dip the fries in?
No.
No. Oh God, those are good.
Yeah, no, I've never eaten. And as a matter of fact, I was on the freeway once with my wife. We were actually driving to Ohio, and she was like, "I'm hungry," and so we happened to see an exit. And I'm like, "Oh, well, there's a Denny's and a Dairy Queen," and she's like, "Oh, we're gonna starve." Like, we just wound up driving another like 40 miles to
they
not eat a Dairy
food.
Queen. So
they
maybe
do.
Yeah, I don't know why. Interesting. Okay, cool.
Yes. Wait, can I
so,
give you guys
Dairy Queen number
one? Other Dairy Queen pro tip for if you want to get a dessert with your fish sandwich.
Go for it.
Order
what is
the
it?
Cupcake. It's like a single serving
yes.
cake in a
yes.
cup.
Yeah, the frozen pro cake.
Tip. Yes.
So it's literally a cup of cake.
Yeah, you know, like, well, you know how their cake has that, like,
the ice cream cake.
Yeah, like the ice cream cake. It's like the fudge and like the chocolate crunchiness and ice cream and whipped cream. You can get like a single one.
Oh yeah,
like,
that's
for
dope.
Yourself.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so order a cupcake.
I'm learning all kinds of things.
There you go.
There's a Dairy Queen literally walking distance from my apartment. I might have to go walk over and get a cup of cake.
Dairy Queen, sponsor us. We're ready.
Yes.
Please. I've been hyping you up for 2 years, but I've been telling everyone I know about your fish sandwiches.
I had Give no me something. Idea. I had no idea they did fish sandwiches. That's so crazy. It's like, and I think I saw, of course, because I follow random food TikToks, TikTok creators, someone had a meal from Dairy Queen that had the gravy, and I was like, good. I didn't know that Dairy Queen did that. Like, I thought they were just like hot dogs, fries, and then a myriad of different ice creams and blizzards.
You have to go to specific ones. Like, I think they're called like Grill and Chills, maybe, or they might be Braziers. I'm not sure.
Okay,
but yeah. So there's a variety. I know way too much about Dairy Queen.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, why do you know so much about Dairy Queen? And all these different names, the Grillin' Show or the Braziers.
Grillin' Show.
You go to the Brazier. And I'm lactose intolerant, so I can't even really eat their ice cream and stuff. Ah. All right. So number two, Arby's. Arby's has a legit fish sandwich. And they're 2 for $6. Which is cheaper than almost everyone on this list.
Yeah, I've heard almost. That one before.
Yes, Arby's is good. Three is Wendy's, and it was a toss-up between these two. They were both very good. Four is Swenson's. I had that for the first time last year. Again, you could probably rotate 2, 3, and 4. It doesn't really matter.
I love this list.
It's Dairy Queen and everyone else.
Until we get to the bottom. Here's the basement dwellers. This one was horrendously disappointing. And it's still not the worst on the list.
Oh, no.
So, coming in at 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. No, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 5. Is Popeyes.
Oh.
I was so excited to try it last year because everything at Popeyes is good. Like, their chicken's good, their french fries are good, like, everything's so good. Tried their fish, I couldn't even eat the whole thing, it was so bad.
Ew, no. Wow. Was it, like, soggy? What was the deal?
It was soggy, it was kind of spicy, which, I mean, I don't really mind, but...
Yeah, it seems weird.
It is kind of weird on a fish sandwich, so was not great. And then, the worst of the worst. I have not had this since 2009. For a reason. and it's the McDonald's Filet-O-Fish.
Everybody loves the Filet-O-Fish. Oh.
Yeah, no, I could see it.
The last time I had it, I was in college, and we had a McDonald's right on campus. So I just went there. It was like a Friday in Lent, and I went and had a fish sandwich. This thing sits in your stomach like a brick. And all day long, you're just burping up something that kind of tastes like fish, but not really.
Ew.
Oh, it's
with
so
the processed cheese on top. Oh.
No. Don't ever get McDonald's fish.
What if you did something crazy? And I might get kicked off for this because I'm not Catholic. What if you did like egg sandwiches on Friday instead of fish? Because you can do that, right?
Oh, I love breakfast for dinner on Fridays.
Like you should like the egg salad.
No, not necessarily.
Egg salad. Oh, so like Meredith is disgusting.
Without the Canadian bacon.
you could do like egg cheese, like egg and cheese on an English muffin.
Yeah, you could do that.
Because it doesn't have to be fish, right?
No,
it just can't be chicken, beef, pork, right?
Yeah, no meat at all.
No meat at all. Yeah.
Pierogies are very popular on Lenten Fridays as well, which is like.
But fish is meat, though, right? It's alive. That's meat, right?
So it was, to go back in time, they feasted on fish. I'm okay.
Yeah, didn't Jesus teach them the fish? Or is that not?
That's not what happened at all.
They're like, feed us. And he's like, no, I'll teach you a fish.
No, that's not what happened. Oh, my God. He fed a bunch of people with fish, so the story goes. But I don't remember him teaching anyone to fish. He might have. I mean, there's a bunch of time we don't know about. He probably did.
This is like 10 years of a Catholic school gone to waste. All that money wasted.
Oh, you went to Catholic school too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I think it has to do with the fact of, well, number one, you're supposed to, well, Ash Wednesday, which is tomorrow, also you can't eat meat, and you're supposed to fast mm-hmm. in between meals or the whole day if you are like very devout. But I believe the whole like meat situation is that meat was considered a luxury. So like you were supposed to forego like that luxury, or you know, like being part of the Lenten season is like fasting, giving up meat. You're supposed to give up something else that, you know, is considered a luxury during this time frame and abstain from those types of things, I believe. Which I think fish was, everyone ate fish all the time because it was cheaper or easier to come by, I think.
I've always been fascinated
because Jesus taught them how to get it.
Well, yes, he did. He did. A lot of the disciples were fishermen.
I mean, well, where did they had to go to the Mediterranean Sea to fish, right? Or the Red Sea, maybe?
I don't know where these places are.
Well, you can't fish in the Dead Sea.
Where
it's
did Jesus
the Dead
live?
Sea for a reason.
Jerusalem?
Okay, this is
okay, well, we're going way. This is really off topic.
I mean, I've got
can we talk about sports?
I can't tell you where Jesus fished, but I can tell you that
where did Jesus
at Lent
fish?
You just can't eat any kind of it's no meat. It's fish is okay, but no meat.
I mean, I have family in Tel Aviv, and I've visited them in Israel. Actually, no, I think they moved to Jerusalem recently. But like, I've visited my family over in Israel, so I'm like vaguely aware of the geography out there. I did get to go to the Dead Sea, and let me tell you, it's the Dead Sea for a reason. Mm. There literally is nothing alive except for the random human beings floating around.
No.
No, not like dead humans, but people who go to like visit and swim in the Dead Sea.
Oh, okay. That's what's like, what? There's like dead fish.
No. I'm just picturing like a sea of dead fish. I'm like, why would you go there?
No, it's just like because it's so salty, it can't sustain life. So when you go and swim in the Dead Sea, you literally cannot drown.
I thought you saw like a bunch of dead bodies.
No. Sorry, that came out wrong. The only thing alive in the Dead Sea are the tourists who go to the beach there,
floating in it, buoyancy,
floating,
right?
Exactly. The buoys.
Yeah, because the water is so dense from all the salt water that it's the perfect place to go if you don't know how to swim.
Because it's like Salt Lake.
You literally cannot drown. Yeah.
Hmm. You could float a car in Salt Lake. I've seen it.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Which means you could, because I think that means you could float a car in the Dead Sea as well, because I think it's the most, I think it's like the saltiest body of water on Earth.
Gosh, we are just teaching everyone a lot of things.
I know.
Talk some sports, you ladies. Why don't you women talk sports?
Gosh.
Okay. Jesus. Sports.
So we do have to get into some sports. So, Brittany, thank you for the ranking. I'm actually going to make it a point this season to try some of I have to get a Dairy Queen one specifically.
Yes. Please
that's
review.
Like number one on the list, and I'll let you know. I want to shift to, we have some Cavs chatter and some Browns chatter, a little bit of Browns chatter because, you know, we're kicking off the Combine week, which is one of our favorite weeks because
it's heights and hand size week.
Hand size week.
Also, I want a job as the person who does the height measurements because I wouldn't lie.
Then you'd be fired.
That's true. I would be fired. I would go and be like, okay, you're 5'9". I'm sorry, Meredith, you're out of here. He's 6 foot. Get out of here.
6 foot one, clearly. Okay, so let's start with the Cavs. So the Cavs, after a wonderful All-Star week last week that you guys just did such a good job about highlighting, the Cavs are in a bit of a rut. They've lost 4 of the last 5 games, and they have a brutal schedule coming up. Injuries keep stacking up. They continue to be a factor, and it really is catching up to them. Are we still having fun watching the Cavs, or have things gotten a little bit more serious as the season has worn on?
Well, I think the injuries are catching up to them, which is a problem. And also, when you mentioned they've lost 4 out of the last 5, the only game they won was against my hometown Washington Wizards. So thanks for rubbing that in.
Who they probably should have lost to, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was actually a really exciting game. The Pistons game... last Thursday. So the fourth quarter was really exciting because they had this massive comeback. They went on like a 12-1 run. They were 3 points down with like 4 seconds left on the clock. And I forget who had the ball, but one three jumper would have tied the game and sent it to overtime. It was super exciting, but they were just throwing up bricks in the last, you know, 30 seconds of the game. And
they have, like, no
that
guards.
Was, I mean, yeah,
what's where we're at?
Yeah, like none. So
did
yeah,
you guys,
I think
did you catch last night's game? Because they were down by 20, and I think at one point maybe 25, and they did surmount another comeback and almost pulled it out.
That seems to be their brand. Is
know,
they go
like,
down
is that
early?
Good? That's not good.
Yeah, they go down early and then they come back in late third, fourth quarters. I mean, and maybe that'll work in the East, but I don't know that that's going to work in a play-in tournament, or if they surpass the play-in tournament and just go straight to the playoffs. Like, I don't know that they could fall down by 20 to 25 in the first half of a game and still come back.
Yeah. No.
Not to mention, I don't think that's how you want to play the game anyway. I mean, no. If you can help it, obviously, yeah.
So I want to touch on this because it wasn't really talked about a lot during All-Star Week, really at all, until, you know, they came back and they started playing games. But Darius Garland has been out the last couple of games, dealing with a sore back and a back injury. Chris Fedor reported that he's probably going to be dealing with this all season, even deep into a playoff run. But the Cavs never considered pulling him from the All-Star game. So this is funny because, like, it reminds me of Brown's Twitter a little bit where – you know, all season Browns dealt with injuries and who's playing, who's not playing, who shouldn't be playing, blah, 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 blah. Well, now it seems that, I don't know if these are the same people or not, but probably pretty similar in nature. People seem to be mad that Darius Garland played in the All-Star game, but isn't playing in actual games. If he's that injured, why did he play? So I really want to get your guys' take. Brittany, I want to start with you because I'm going to guess you have an opinion on this. And Derek, I'd like you to weigh in on this too.
Sure.
So, number one, the person who reported it is sort of known for, like, stirring stuff up. I'll just put that out there. Like,
I wouldn't say that. Like,
oh,
I don't think
historically, yes. Like, back, especially, like, in the LeBron James era, he's sort of done, like, a good PR turn for the Cavs the past couple of years. But before that, he did this kind of thing a lot.
Well, okay, so he got his start on 850, and when he was on that station, he was kind of like he was the antagonist of everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's, like, gotten that reputation, and in recent, like, but that's not who he is, and he shed that persona when he left there and started writing. And I mean, of course, I'm sticking up for him because he's a colleague of mine, but I've noticed that when he, like, if he, like, fills in as a host on 92.3, like, he could literally get on the air and sing the praises of LeBron James for for a straight hour, and someone would call and be like, "Why do you hate LeBron so much?"
Like Cleveland fans at all.
And you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, did you not just listen to everything that he said for the past hour? You just, like, he just said LeBron James, and then you filled in the blanks with your not listening ears. Or if he does praise LeBron James, then people call me like, "Why you love Steph Curry so much?" And I'm like, he literally never mentioned Steph Curry once at all. I don't know where you're coming from. So I think that people expect him to be an antagonist because he's had that reputation in the past. But when you talk about his PR turn, it's just because that's not who he is. I think he's gotten back to more of himself in his reporting, but people still want to associate him with this caricature that he had, like, in his early intern days. So I don't know. That's just me trying to stick up for Chris, but continue.
Number one, this was Darius Garland's first All-Star game. You know what I mean? Like, this was an honor for him. He worked so hard to achieve this. The Cavs had already went way beyond expectations for this season at that point. So when they say, well, they never even considered pulling him from the All-Star game, no, they didn't. And I'm fine with that. Like, to me, in my mind, this team has done so much better than I ever expected them to, that with something like this, it doesn't matter. It doesn't take away from the season. Darius Garland will be back. He's young. He's, you know, dealing with the injury. He's going to be fine. Anyone that's overreacting to this and saying, well, they should have taking it from the All-Star game if they knew it was going to affect the season, relax. Like, let the kid go out there and enjoy his hard work has let him accomplish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, I feel like people forgot that Darius Garland came back before the All-Star break. Like, he was out for a few games with a back injury, and then he was feeling better, and he played the two or three games leading up to the All-Star break, and so then they let him play. Like, he was feeling fine.
He didn't hurt himself in the All-Star game. That didn't
right,
happen.
Yeah. He was playing, you know, the 2 to 3 games before the All-Star break even happened. So if he had been injured in every single game and then he went to play in the All-Star game, I think it would be a little sus. But the fact that he was playing well in those two games leading up to the All-Star break and then played fine in the All-Star game, I think it's fine. And also, back injuries are so, they're so temperamental. Like, I've had a back injury before too, and it can flare up at any time. And that's kind of what Mike Gansey said the other day. He said Darius Garland's day to day, and that's really the best you can do. Like, back injuries are not like a torn meniscus where you have a very clear timeline and very clear milestones that you have to hit in your recovery. And if you hit these milestones, you're ahead of schedule. If you're lagging behind, that sort of thing, like, there's no timeline for back injuries, you know? So I agree with Brittany. Like, let the kid have his fun. He worked so hard and he earned it. And, you know, to be not only be in an All-Star game, but to be in an All-Star game in the town of the team that you play for, like, that is such a huge honor. And that's something that he's never going to forget. So, you know, the Topher Testaverdes on Cavs Twitter need to leave him alone.
Yeah. I'm of a mind to agree, I guess, more or less with everything that you guys said. I was going to make the point about the games that he had played ahead of the All-Star break. But I think it's one of those things, and forgive me because I might be in over my head talking to you guys because you guys are experts and I'm a casual, as they say. But
I'm going to use that from now on.
Yeah, I just think first of all, I don't think anyone would be making that big of a deal out of it if it wasn't for the fact that Sexton and Rubio were already out. And then I also think that people have a tendency to forget that as much as these teams are competing against each other, it's sort of also a brotherhood. And I don't believe that everyone on the court's aware that this guy has back issues. You know what I'm saying? And it's the All-Star game. They're not going out there and, you know, fighting for a championship and, like, come on. So if the guy said he could play, if, you know, Gansey said, you know, he was touch and go and he seemed fine, then shut up. Like, you're not running the team. Stop bitching about it. There's nothing you can do. Shut up. That's my advice. That's what I think they should do. Then again, I'd have nothing to talk about, would I?
You got to start. I think we need a Cavs
Yeah, I said. I mean, after next season, I'm free agent. Yeah. I'm free agent after next season. I might sign a deal there.
Well, can I ask you guys? So, like, the team, obviously, they've exceeded expectations this year already, really, at this point in time in the season. I don't know if we thought going into the season they were going to be a playoff team, right? That, like, all of our minds would have been blown.
I did.
Had we said.
I mean, I heard the term fun thrown around a lot. Like,
fun.
Yeah, it was just fun. This is so much fun. They're so much fun. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? But, no, I didn't expect them to make the playoffs necessarily. Yeah.
And then it kind of like got real when you were like, oh man, this team like actually might be for real. They might be good. And they also have, just speaking of fun, like they have like great storylines that you can root for as well. Like, you know, a lot of the young guys, we call them the Slender Man lineup. I think they're going with like the Tower City lineup, which like, come on, you're not going to go with the Slender Man lineup?
Tower City's pretty good.
I mean, Tower City definitely makes sense.
Slender Man, like, whatever.
Well, Kobe Altman went out there
I'm bitter.
Went out there and just he just took every single 7-footer on the market that was athletic, and now there's none left. So if, you know, the NBA is a copycat league, if anyone else wants to start bringing in the 7-footers, like, their only choice right now is Taco Fall, and that's only because the, you know, RIP. The Cavs cut him. Not RIP because he's dead. RIP because he's no longer a Cav.
I was just thinking, what the hell happened to Taco Fall? How did I miss this?
He's in the Dead Sea.
He's on vacation. No, but like, but yeah, that's like what Kobe Altman did, is that he went out and he built a team that is just so different and so unique from anyone else in the league. And he found it with players who themselves are unique. Like, Evan Mobley is a really athletic 7-footer. Like, Jared Allen is a really athletic 7-footer. Like, these guys aren't a dime a dozen, and somehow Kobe Altman found every single one of them. So I get the Tower City, but I think for this podcast we might have to, well, stick with the Slender Men just for Brie.
Thank you, Meredith. Thank you, guys. But they started the Junkyard Dog Award. So I saw this, and Brittany, you sent us the picture of Isaac Okoro because he was he won the inaugural award after the game against the Wizards over whenever that was, the weekend. And, you know, they want to celebrate their scrappy play, their hard-nosed style. You know, they have a lot of come-from-behind wins. They never give up. And I, like, literally sit there and I'm like, this is, like, what we expected the Browns to be. All of these, like, things of, like, the talent and the fun and the young roster and core, like, all coming together. And it's just so funny how it's playing out, like, for our basketball team specifically. And, you know, even when the Cavs are down, you can never count them out because they will claw their way back into the game. Like, this entire last season with the Browns, like, they never had a shot when they went down. Like, it was like, bury them, it's over after the first quarter.
I think one of the biggest differences between those two is the Cavs genuinely, from top to bottom, seem to really like each other.
Yes!
Like, they're out there playing for each other.
Yeah, is that what it is, you guys? Are we?
I think so.
Recklessly speculating?
Let's speculate wildly.
Go ahead. They like each other. What are you insinuating, Brittany?
No, say with the Browns, like, there always seemed to be, the whole season, there was like this division. And the OBJ situation obviously accelerated that. And I think we're still seeing the fallout from that. Doesn't seem to be, you know, clearing itself up in any way. But yeah, like, the Cavs are just a totally different story. They just seem like every night they're out there playing for one another. And that makes a lot of difference.
Sure. It creates chemistry. There's no way around it. Culture and chemistry.
Derek, who's your favorite Cav?
Ever?
No, on the team right now.
On the current team?
I mean, I am... I'm a mark for Darius Garland. I really do like him. I think he's a great kid.
He's adorable.
And... I'm a casual. The kid who just won the Junkyard Dog Award.
Isaac Okoro.
There you go. Okay. Yeah, he played at Auburn, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I dig him as well. So I guess Garland would probably be my favorite, though. Current player.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. I love Isaac Okoro. They had him mic'd up for a game. It was maybe a week or two before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And Bally Sports Ohio mic'd him up for the game, and he is hilarious. He is so funny. Like, there were moments where he was, you know, he was talking his talk on the sidelines. He's like, oh, yeah, that one's going to go online. Because he knew he was mic'd up. So he was, like, saying these things. And he goes, yep, that one's going online. And I'm like, he's so funny and so self-aware. And then on top of that, he's very good at basketball.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think what we're seeing with the Cavs is we are seeing a successful rebuild. Because after LeBron left, the team was kind of in shambles, and I think initially we thought that they were going to build around Kyrie, but then Kyrie didn't want to be here, and, you know, he left, and Channing Frye retired, which made me sad, because Channing Frye is probably one of my all-time favorites, but the team fell apart a little bit, but Kobe Altman has had a vision, and he never really wavered from it, and he kept on the path, and, you know, we had to do the trust the process thing, and we did, and I think that's what we're seeing, and I think that's probably why the Browns are even more frustrating, because they were supposed to be in a rebuild. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like they're still in that perpetual beginning stages of the rebuild, and they haven't been able to get over that hump, with the exception of, you know, the 2020 year of making the playoffs and winning a playoff game. It's just getting over that hump has just felt so impossible with the Browns, and the Cavaliers have done it. So even if they don't make the playoffs this year, this team has a really, really bright future, and I think that's why there's a lot of frustration when you compare the Browns to the Cavaliers. Is, you know, the Cavaliers made it over their rebuild hump and they're on the upswing, and the Browns are still, you know, they're still chugging along trying to get to that crest of the hill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brittany, can I ask you, do you like, who have you enjoyed watching this year with your boy being out?
Isaac Okoro is my second favorite player.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I love Darius Garland, too. Jared Allen's fun, but I think Isaac Okoro is my second favorite.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. He is an amazing defensive player.
He is so good.
Like,
love it.
So good. My kids, so, like, they still really like Kevin Love from, you know, like, the LeBron era. Like, they're still, like, really big into K-Love, which I think is hilarious. But they've also really taken to Jared Allen because, like, he's always smiling and he's always so happy.
And yes, he's so cute.
I was watching the other day and I was like commenting. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's always so happy. Like, look how happy he is just to be there and smiling. And little dude was like, does he ever get mad? Like, what makes him mad? I'm like, I don't know. That's a great question, because I wonder, like, if we would ever see him mad about something.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure he gets mad about something.
I'm sure that's a quality that people like hate about him. You know, like, there's probably like the Dales that are like,
yeah, so happy for him, man.
He's always smiling. Yeah. You lost. Yeah. Why are you smiling?
There's no smiling at basketball.
What's wrong with you? Just play the game.
Yeah. Oh God! Oh, it's good that we don't have the body language experts following the cast right
oh
now.
Oh my God!
Okay, so let's get into the Browns, and then we'll wrap it up for the evening. So as we mentioned, it's Combine Week, and Andrew Berry spoke with the media today, kept things pretty tight, as he always does, and as we could have expected. But there were a few questions I wanted just to point out here. So he's mentioned this before, I think, even ahead of last year's Combine, but he talked about how his staff evaluates the Combine and players as if they're unlimited roster spots. So not necessarily honing in on one specific position or need, much to Brown's Twitter dismay. And then he was also asked about, of course, Baker Mayfield, his quarterback. And he did mention that he has spoken with Baker multiple times following the surgery. They're focused on letting him get healthy, and they are very happy and pleased with his progress. Also notable, a report came out last night. This was unsourced, but we're sourcing Dr. Mollis. Baker Mayfield's recovery is ahead of schedule, and we have our own doctor on the show.
Let me just say that I hope it's ahead of schedule, because he was out of that sling 10 days after he got surgery. So, yeah, I hope that he's ahead of schedule pulling some shit like that. And I will stand by that statement, by the way. That's a hill I'll die on. You don't have torn labrum surgery and go to a dinner party 10 days later without a sling on. That's just you don't have to be a doctor to know that. Let me tell you. If you Google right now, recovery time, torn labrum, every single piece of evidence says at least 4 to 6 weeks, at least, to be in the sling. If you don't believe me, that's fine, but you could do it yourself. Just, you know, take 5 seconds, put it in the little Google machine, and it'll come back, I promise. But other than that, like, you know, I've known people who've had this surgery, and they say at least 4 weeks, sometimes 8 weeks. So, yeah, when I saw him out of a sling 10 days after surgery, I was like, well, that looks weird. Because it does. You know what I mean? Like, this is not...
Do you want to go down a conspiracy theory rabbit hole?
What, that he wasn't really that hurt?
No, my conspiracy...
That's mine. Yeah. No. That's mine.
That's, man, that's way spicier than my... Man, my conspiracy theory sucks now.
Brittany, that is interesting.
So my fear was, when I originally said that, I said, either he's not taking the rehab as seriously as he should be, or he wasn't as hurt as we think he was.
Oh, see,
that's the only way you could be out of a sling in 10 days.
My conspiracy theory was that that picture was taken before his surgery, but because he's like Zero Dark 23 or whatever with his social media, but he still needed to make sure that people are talking about him. So he, you know, asked that person, hey, can you please tweet the picture of us from your dinner party? Like, I think he did. Cause like that.
It was Colin Coward though. Like, I can't imagine Colin would do him any favors.
It was Colin Coward. But it was a dinner party at a friend of Colin Coward's. I don't know. They could be best friends behind the scenes. You never know. But my conspiracy theory was that the picture was taken before the surgery, which, like I said, now seems really lame and sad compared to Britney's conspiracy theory.
I don't think he was that hurt, guys.
And I don't, like, people can attack me for whatever. I'm in therapy now, so nothing bothers me.
Come at me.
Do whatever you do, your worst, Dales. I don't care.
I love it. I'm in therapy now.
Yeah.
That's such a great comeback. I love it. Like, it's not to make light of it. Like, I'm so proud of you, but it's still, like, it's such a great comeback.
Yeah, it is. I agree. Yeah. Why not? Shove it in their faces.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think.
Derek, what's your stance on Baker in general? Because I feel like you've been pretty, like, gray.
Yeah, he's been pretty fair on both sides.
I've always tried to be and remain neutral in the whole thing. It's one of those things that there's no winning, right? Like, no matter what you say, there's going to be this group of people. And for the record, I've never actually said this anywhere before. Baker Bros are the worst fucking people on that app. There's no way around it. Yes. There's no, like, and this isn't some, like, team shit. This is, like, on some real shit. Like, the worst insults that I've ever, like, sometimes I'll tweet something I think's innocuous. So, like, one time I tweeted something like, I think it's funny that Baker Mayfield said that he's leaving social media on social media. It was a very, like, and it wasn't to be mean. It was because I genuinely thought that's a funny thing to do, because there's other avenues you could have taken, but it's just funny to me. It's just funny to me for a person to do that. And it was the Baker Bros that, like, came for me. And I just couldn't believe it, because I just thought, like, but what did I say, though? You know what I'm saying? And that's what I finally, you know, I said that I muted it, but I didn't really mute it, just to see, like, how people would react to it. And then I had to be like, you dorks, I didn't really mute this. Like, they're just, yeah, but no, Baker Bros are the worst people in the app. So that's how I feel about Baker Mayfield.
Did people go that hard for Johnny Manziel?
No.
Have they gone that, has there been any other quarterback in the last 10 years that people have gone that hard for?
I went that hard for DeShone Kizer, and even I knew my limits, because I knew that he wasn't very good. But, like, had to do it. Somebody had to hype him up.
I mean, that's like me with Tyrod Taylor, but, you know.
I can't think of anyone who...
No.
No, not like, not to this, he's so polarizing. He's like John Cena. Like, it's like you can't even be a person who's in between. Because
there are people that don't like John Cena?
Probably, yeah. I mean, or there were at one point when he was a professional wrestler. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there were people that
He was either a babyface or a heel. And then you
him once. He is the nicest guy. He's so nice. I met him, like, one time, like, when I, like, right after I graduated college, and I was at my first radio job in D.C., and he was on
the afternoon show, and I happened to be in that day, and I got to meet him, and he was so nice. I didn't realize that people didn't like him.
No, I mean, by all accounts, I'm sure. But, I mean, you know what I mean. The only person no one doesn't like, I think, is probably The Rock, maybe. I don't think anyone dislikes Dwayne Johnson. I've never heard anyone do like...
crush.
There were people who were being very mean to him at the Super Bowl, and I got mad and I tweeted about it.
Like, yeah, they said he was dressed like a beet, and I'm like, what's wrong with that?
But that's still...
he was out there introducing the Super Bowl, and people were mad about it, like, oh, this is what you get for L.A., like, pointless celebrity. I'm like, who cares?
Whatever. They're still going to see Jumanji 3. Still going to see it. No one doesn't like that guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Baker Mayfield, I want whatever's best for the Browns. I want whatever helps the Browns win. I'm a Browns fan. I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan. I am because he's the QB right now. But I want whatever helps the Browns win. And I don't understand what's hard to understand about that. I don't – players are always going to leave sooner or later.
Right.
They're going to retire. They're going to get hurt. They're going to – you know, whatever. God forbid something worse. But, like – players leave and the team is always there, and I'm fortunate to have, like, I was there when the team left, you know what I mean? I was like a kid, and I remember it. I've cried twice over a sports related event. The first time was when the Browns left Cleveland. The second time is when the Cavs won the championship in 2016. Other than that, like, that's how I'm really there with them. So I just want the Browns to win, and everyone should feel that way. The only people who don't feel that way are fake fans in the spaces. The only people
the spaces. Who feel that way. The spaces. Oh,
like, it's this entity.
Where have they been? Where have they been?
They're there. I saw somebody had one today. They said, and I don't know who it was, but they were like, I'm stuck in traffic. Let's have a space. And I'm like, well, that's weird. No. That's like an odd thing to, like, think about while you're
that
stuck in traffic.
That also feels kind of dangerous. Yeah.
We've gone too far.
It feels a little dangerous.
Yeah, it's strange. To each their own, but I think that accounts for a lot of the misery, like, on Brown's Twitter, is just that people, like, that's all they focus on. And, yeah, like, for you guys, it's one thing because it's part of your job, right? And then for someone like me, it's another thing because I just like the team and I want to see him win. But, like, for somebody who sits, you know, and that's if that's your only source of joy, is what the Browns are doing and what the Browns front office is doing, like, in the middle of your day, then I think you need to reevaluate some things, you know what I mean? And you need to sort of really think about what you're doing. Why are you having a mock draft every day?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you're not Mel Kiper, you know what I'm saying? Like, why are you having a mock draft every day? What's changed? What's changed? Unless somebody got shot or arrested or, like, a tsunami hit, nothing's changed right now, you know what I mean? So, like, I don't understand it, but...
I hate mock draft season. Like, I know I've said this on the show before, but, like, what a complete waste of time. What a complete... I know there are so many people out there that, like, do them for fun, like, they write articles about them, but, like, do you get a bonus if you get them right? Like, what is the point?
It fills a void, because this is absolutely a football country, like, more often than not, when you go, when you go into a, like, there are some sports cities that are very, very heavy in baseball or basketball or even hockey in some places. But for the most part, 9 times out of 10, when you go to a sports town, it's going to be NFL centric. And I really think that mock drafts just came around because they're just desperate for football content, and they needed to fill a void.
Okay. So maybe what bothers me a little bit about it is, like, my real time job is pretty much like trying to predict the future and, like, trying to guess what's going to be popular, and I make a lot of business decisions without really knowing a lot of information. So I guess it just, like, really bothers me that, like, people spend their free time doing stuff like this. Yeah.
That's how I feel about Wordle.
Oh my god!
I'm like, no, I'm not working for free.
Oh, today's Wordle was questionable. It was questionable.
I've never not once played Wordle. Not one time.
Me neither, Derek.
It's fun.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm never, even with the mock draft stuff, I'm never shitting on anybody. If that's your thing, do it. And if it keeps you from, like, whatever.
Oh, I'm
whatever,
shitting on people.
I'm not.
You're free to do it. I just hate it.
Whatever your thing is.
The worst was that there was, like, one or two really, really big accounts that were complaining about Wordle. And in the back of my mind, I was like, they've got to just be complaining for content, because it's so, like, muting words is so easy. Like, you can literally mm-hmm. mute the word yeah. Wordle, and you will literally never see anybody's green and yellow boxes ever again. No. So why are you sitting there making memes and complaining day after day after day about Wordle when you can literally just mute the keyword?
And then the people who follow them are like, I hate Wordle. And like, it becomes this thing now, like, hey, like me, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's, but no, I've never played Wordle, and I don't mean to sound contradictory to what I just said.
Like, it's fine. I mean, it's a good thing for me to like do when I first wake up. Like, it takes me a few minutes. It's a few minutes out of my day. So, I mean, it's not like,
get your brain going. You know,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay. One last thing, you guys. This is an important one, because I think we're all rooting for this to happen. There was a report that came out that Cleveland is willing to consider paying David Njoku millions of dollars to keep him on the team. We all collectively want to see that. Yes.
Oh
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Derek, do you think Njoku is the best tight end on the team?
No, Austin Hooper is.
Really?
Yeah, he leads the leagues and falls after catches. Like, it's a type of talent that you cannot teach. You have to be born with it. Yes, of course, David Njoku.
Not make-believe, man. He is born with
it. I think Brittany called him Surf Falls a lot. Is that what you called him?
I did. And you know what? I can't even, as a fellow faller, I can't really make that much fun of it. I was in the elevator this morning.
Oh, no.
And this guy... I'm on floor 5. He's on floor 6. So he came down and I opened and I was going to work. And he's standing there and he's like, so are you okay? And I said, what do you mean? And he's like, well, I saw you fall in the parking lot. He's like, I was looking out the window and I opened it and yelled to see if you were okay, but I don't think you heard me.
So embarrassing.
Oh, Jesus.
And you probably thought you got smooth away with that.
I did. I was like, oh, nobody
strolled
saw
in
it.
Confident.
Like a week and a half later, are you okay? Like, not really, but what are you referring to? But
oh my
yeah.
Gosh.
David
and
Joker.
He's
yeah.
fun to watch. It's funny to watch him fall all the time. I'll give him that.
No, I don't really think. Yeah, I don't think that he's better. Njoku is obviously much better.
Oh, yeah. We're big Njoku fans here. Njoku. Also, guys, one last thing. I am manifesting David Njoku getting paid and the Browns somehow, some way, drafting Kyle Hamilton in the first round. Ooh. I've decided.
Interesting.
He'll never fall to 13, but I'm trying. I did it with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah.
And they got him late.
I'm trying to will it into existence. That's my new project.
Can you do a mock draft just so I can see how that would happen?
Yeah, the mock draft is just Browns, 13 Kyle Hamilton. That's my whole mock draft.
Great. Will you please publish it and write an article about why?
Absolutely.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. We expect 3,000 words on our desk in the morning. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll manifest it. It's time. It's time to manifest and mock draft our way to willing things into existence. But that wraps us up for the night. Derek, thank you so much for joining us.
Honestly, no. Thank you guys. Seriously, it was a pleasure. It's all been on this side. And yeah, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep fighting up the good fight. And I'm always watching, even when I'm not saying anything. I'm always watching.
So, guys, if you don't follow him already, make sure you find him on Twitter at Bulletproof West, but it's B-U-L-I-T, just to throw a wrench in for you guys.
yeah. I wanted it to be spelled the right way, but it's like an account that hasn't been active since, like, 2014, and it irks me because, like, I just want to, like, contact him and be like, dude, I'll pay you $100 for this. Like, just...
Isn't that the worst?
It's terrible, but...
No,
yeah.
I kind of like that it's not, like, the real spelling.
Can I tell a really quick story about something like that similar that happened with a friend of mine? Her name is Danielle Bailey, and her Twitter handle was Danny Bales, B-A-I-L-S. But every time we read it, we always thought it was Danny Balls. And when we would go out and she would get like really, really drunk, that was like her drunk alter ego was Danny Balls. And so she wanted to change her Twitter handle to Danny Balls, but somebody already had it. And they had it like right when Twitter opened in like 2007. And it had like one tweet. no picture. And as far as I know, that it's still being held by someone. And like, we've grown up and grown out of that phase. But I just remember there was like a good 3 years where she was just like, I just want the Danny Balls Twitter account. I don't know why I can't have it.
Yeah, but I've come accustomed to it now. So, yeah, that's where you can find me. I appreciate you guys.
Yes, find his podcast too, rumpusroomrevival.com. Again, thank you for joining us and staying with us for so long. We went super long this week, but it was great. Meredith and Brittany, thank you as always. To everyone else listening, thank you for listening. You know where to find us, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, wherever you guys get your podcasts. Rate us and review us if you can, and we'll talk to you guys all next week.